Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Steve Rosenbloom.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Good morning. Welcome in. Saturday Suckage. Together again for the first time. Together again since, I don't know, in a month on Saturday Suckage. And we have a new name, a new voice in our Saturday Suckage roll call. So let's begin. Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Mike Tomlin.
Sucking.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Brian Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck?
Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, they used to pick me after the white kids.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you gotta embrace the suck.
And here's our newest voice, Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Mark Grody.
Hey! I apparently suck as well. I've already been yelled at by the Trash Panda to begin this show for apparently not reading the entire rundown to know which line I would be broadcasting on today. So I suck.
There you go. We'll add you to the suckage roll call. That was nice. It just keeps growing. And Trash Panda, by the way, would like to minimize the suckage on Saturday Suckage by having the entire Saturday Suckage roll call take the entire first segment, and then he wouldn't have to hear from
That's
us.
That's the dream, guys. First 15 always, minutes of the show is just people saying we suck.
Yeah.
Always good to have a goal. Well, we do. We're together again. That's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenbloom. Saturday Suckage. We will. This is an all-Mark Saturday. Mark Potash will join us at 11:20 to talk Bears because, I don't know, it's crazy. I have a question about Mr. BU becoming Mr. BS, and we'll ask Mark Grody that. And there's Mark Potash, Mark Grody, and Mark Gonzalez will join us to talk Sox and Cubs and playoffs and playoff rotation for the Sox. And can the Cubs just stop now? Can they put us out of our misery now? But first, in advance of tomorrow's home opener, we're going to go to Soldier Field. We just want to check things out. So let's check in at Soldier Field with Andy Dalton's Bears. Go. We'll check in and we'll see how it goes. The fans apparently are in mid-season four. Mark, can you help me out here? Connect the dots for me. Can you connect the dots? You like doing that, don't you, Mark?
I do like connecting the dots, too. Yes.
All right, let's connect the dots. Matt Nagy, Mr. BU, sounds like Mr. BS, and here's why. You got Andy Dalton, the QB1, averaged 4.2 yards or intended air yards per attempt. Second worst in the league. Did not throw a pass in the air over 10 yards. So he says, this Nagy guy, about Justin Fields. The nice thing about Justin is you've got somebody that is special with making throws, too. So many times you see guys that come in, and sometimes they're just running quarterbacks and that sort of thing. So he can be a weapon that way, too. So if you're calling intentionally short, quick, get rid of the ball quickly because we don't trust our offensive line, and that defensive line is really good, and we're not going to throw downfield, we're not going to challenge them, they're going to cheat up. Which Hall of Fame coach would choose to play the less dangerous quarterback the way Matt Nagy is? You got to help me. I don't understand.
I thought you were going to give me a list of the quarterbacks that... Well, I don't know. Steve, I don't know if I have an actual answer to that question that is going to satisfy anybody, but when we've seen throughout the Andy Dalton career that this is what he does well. He does know how to manage an offense. He does know how to get rid of the ball quickly and make quick decisions, which I guess is one of the things that they're still working out with Justin Fields in terms of getting rid of the ball more quickly and not necessarily, especially in a case like this where you don't have the offensive line to protect, clearly to protect any kind of explosive plays or long balls of any sort. So I suppose that's what went into the thinking of that at this point, Andy Dalton might be better at running that kind of offense, an offense that they have to run because of a wobbly offensive line.
But they do have a quarterback who can run away from, who can deodorize the offensive line shortcomings and deodorize the play caller's inability to call the game that's in front of him. And here's what's really confusing to me, that Nagy is a guy who maybe not only, but certainly centrally loves all of his neato torpedo plays, right? It's just one cocktail napkin after another. Hey, I'll do this. Hey, I'll do that. You know, it's the pretty shiny thing, the pretty shiny gizmo, gadget, surprise, shocking play. He likes the plays that get an opponent's heads spinning. And I get that. That's what you want to do. But he refuses to play the quarterback who makes opponents' heads spin. And I just don't get that. I just don't understand how that could be the same guy. Mr. BU seems to be part of Mr. BS in that idea that if you're that guy, if I'm going to shock you and I'm going to be unpredictable and you're not going to know and we're going to take these shots, and wouldn't you play the guy who gives your offense the best chance to make the opponents worry?
Probably. You know, there's something here that we don't know yet. And that is, I mean, they'll speak in generalities about Justin Fields. Like, why isn't Justin Fields playing? And what is it that he has to work on? And that answer usually becomes very generalized, turns into something, well, he's got to work on everything. You know, it's just experience and watching and learning, speed of the game, all these things that you can't quite quantify or look up or what that you have to kind of take their word for. There's got to be something more to that. that Matt Nagy is thinking that perhaps his coaches, John DeFilippo and Bill Lazor and those cats, that they have identified with Justin Fields that there is something they're not completely comfortable going full go in. I don't know if that is because they have not told us, and I don't think they told us, and maybe we'll find out someday what it was. But there's obviously something. And then the other part is, too, a little bit of relief, though, in knowing that, I mean, got in the first game, Justin Fields. He played the five snaps. Matt Nagy revealed to us the other day that there were definitely more plays. It was all just circumstantial. So he's already blown up his initial plan, which was to play the Pat Mahomes game, which would have sat him on the... Remember when we were all playing, like, when's he going to get in? Maybe the fourth or fifth or sixth game. He got in the first game. So let's just see what happens tomorrow. And if that... it's going to at least be doubled. Is he going to get successive plays this time? Is he going to get an entire series? I do think that we're seeing a slow takeover by Justin Fields, and I'm going to be fascinated to see what they do tomorrow.
Hey, Mark, can I ask you something real quick? And I try to listen to as many Bears pressers as I can, but I don't get to listen to every second of all of them, and you're obviously there. So has anyone asked the question directly to Matt Nagy, why isn't Justin Fields starting? What are the reasons? Like, specifically, do you want to see from him?
That's just it. Those questions have been asked, yeah. And the most popular answer has been, we like what Andy Dalton is doing.
See, they keep deflecting.
I know. And I think that was my initial point in saying that there must be something real that they're working on with him, or that they don't quite trust in his NFL life yet, you know? So I don't know that they are beholden to admit. I wish they would, because that would probably shut us all up if we actually knew what it was that was actually holding him back, other than experience. But then we see all the other examples of young quarterbacks going in and starting.
Trash Panda, there is a version of the question you asked that our first guest, Mark Potash, did ask. We'll ask him about that question, and we'll ask him about the answer he got and how satisfying or unsatisfying it was at where it left him. Mark, I wonder if it is, in a bigger picture, which again makes the Bears full of BS in a lot of ways, but the bigger picture is this. They signed Andy Dalton. He was the best in the return pile, right? The remainder bin. He was the best of what was there in their view. Never believing they would have had a chance to trade up to get the guy they got, whatever he turns out to be. And it's dubious because Ryan Pace doesn't know offense, doesn't know quarterbacks, and Matt Nagy is still yet to prove he can develop one. But they have Justin Fields. They have a guy who is dynamic. They have a guy who's dangerous. They have a guy who makes opponents plan for more than Andy Dalton does. But much like they did with Mike Glennon, Ryan Pace, and now in collaboration with Matt Nagy, they kind of made a promise. We heard Andy Dalton, this is my time. He was promised something. And around the league, you don't want to be perceived as totally without credibility. There's a lot of places where Ryan Pace lacks credibility. The one area I guess he doesn't want to, or that he's protecting, potentially, as you look for an answer, could it be that they made a promise, as simple as they made a promise to Andy Dalton, they're going to let him start one game, two games, see where it goes. 17-game season gives him a chance to get back into it. And by the way, this division sucks. So even with a bad start and the wrong quarterback, they potentially envision a way to climb back and make it all work and not look so bad in the eyes with their words of the rest of the NFL. Is that a possibility?
You make it a good point about the promise thing. And I think that to a large degree, that, again, if they could do this all over again, I bet they would do it differently. I don't know that they suspected. There's a couple parts here. I don't know if they suspected that Justin Fields would make the jumps that he did in camp. I also think that the as far as the promise thing is concerned, that they would probably look back on that too and say it was a mistake. But the Bears were kind of in a, they were kind of entering desperation territory in terms of getting another quarterback in there, because you struck out on the whole Carson Wentz thing. He goes to the Colts. You struck out on Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then you have, and there were a few other guys that they
Matthew Stafford, by
through.
The way, and Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. Yeah, wow, absolutely.
Tom Brady.
So they got to a point where they had to up the ante a little bit and be like, all right, and Andy Dalton was probably going to go someplace else if the Bears hadn't have said, yes, you're going to be our starter. I don't know if they ever said the words, Andy, I promise you, you'll be our starter. They probably just said, we are signing you to be our starting quarterback. And Andy Dalton repeated those things right away. So all I know is this is what they told me. And once that's out there, then, yeah, you really can't go backwards on it, and it puts you in a bad place. And so the Bears can, at least now, the Bears can say, yes, Andy Dalton started the season. He did that. He started against the Los Angeles Rams last week, and look how fast they got Justin Fields in there. Look how, I mean, it's happening already, and it's going to happen more. So as angsty as we all are, and I understand it, I get it, I'm not mad at anybody who's like, get Justin Fields the hell in there, no more Andy Dalton, I get it, but guess what, it's happening, it's going to happen, just hang in there.
All right, well, let's see how they're hanging in. Let's go back to Soldier Field and let's check in with the fans and their thoughts at Soldier Field on Andy Dalton's Bears. Saturday suckage like it ought to be. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times about the Bears, a question he asked that seemed to have Matt Nagy, Mr. BU, turn into Mr. BS. We'll see what Potash thinks. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Together again for the first time, Saturday suckage like it ought to be, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Because of who they are and then the coaches that we have and the way that they practiced, they get it. I thought they practiced fast. They were finishing. But now we got to do it when it counts. We got to do it on Sunday. And now we get that chance, they get that chance, and that's all we can do is, you know, go on Sunday and see how the results turn out.
Just get sadder and sadder listening to Mr. BU turn into Mr. BS. Or maybe always
don't be
has
sad,
been,
Steve.
I guess. And well, it is.
Steve,
it's sad. It's depressing.
Steve, I need you happy. We need your sunshine. Yes, wow. Yes. Can we get that by 2 o'clock today, you think?
No, that's right. If I'm not there, start without me. He's Mark Cody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This Saturday suckage. Boy, is it ever. So our next guest, Mark Potash of the Sun-Times, asked the interim Bears head coach the question, what does Andy Dalton give you that Justin Fields doesn't or can't or whatever? And here is the interim coach's answer.
That's a good question. I understand it. But when you look back and you say, and after you're able to watch the tape and see where you're at, you know that, you know, we talked about, and I brought it up in regards to producing and scoring touchdowns and winning. And so we're always evaluating that. But I thought that Andy did a pretty good job yesterday of being able to you know, get the ball out to guys where he needed to in certain situations. You look back and the biggest error that he had was that interception to start the game. And sometimes those can be big ones because that's a momentum deal right on third down. So, you know, without getting into the comparisons too much. I just think that right now when we're evaluating Andy, that I thought he did a good job of being able to put us in good situations, and then using Justin when we did. Justin did well too.
Matt, what do you think more on years Montgomery?
No updates today. No, they're actually working through all that. So once we get them through that, we'll know more. But there's nothing today.
Mark Potash of the Sun-Times, thank you. Welcome back to Saturday Suckage. Thanks for joining us. You asked a question. I didn't hear an answer. What did you hear, and what did you make of his answer?
Well, I heard the part that he's not into comparisons. So he's just not ready to go there yet. And I understand where he's coming from. I think that's why this is a really big week for Andy Dalton, because week one is one thing, but week two is another. And if he's no better than he was, if he's no better Sunday than he was last week, that's a much more difficult question for him to answer by just saying, I'm not into comparison. So, so it was a non-answer, and he's just not ready to go there. And what's early for him is late for everybody else. So it comes very quickly. And that's why I think this is a huge week. I think this is where things can possibly turn.
Yeah, I do too. And yeah, I was just saying that, Potsy, that as angsty as Bears fans are and as wanting of Justin Fields as they have been, it's happening, and it's going to happen more on Sunday, and there could be a takeover that eventually occurs maybe earlier than people think. But do you think, because we were talking about this in the first segment, do you think that the reason Justin Fields has not played more to this point and was not given a chance to start the first game, do you truly believe that there is a developmental piece that they're still working on with him, that they are sanding to make fine? Or is it because of the handshake promise that was apparently made with Andy Dalton and the Bears brass?
Yeah, I think it's like 90% the latter. And that, frankly, you know, that's why I have, compared to others, I have not been as obsessed with this quarterback thing, because I think the Bears kind of painted themselves into a corner inadvertently when they signed Andy Dalton without knowing they were going to be able to get Justin Fields. And it's easy for us to write in the paper, it's easy to say on the radio, oh, they should forget that, whatever agreement there was, just forget that, just start the kid and get on your merry way. But when you've been in that negotiating room, and you're the guy who ostensibly told Andy Dalton that, you know, he's coming here because he's going to be the starter, it's a lot harder to say that and to pull the rug out from under him. So I just think they feel an obligation.
I agree.
To go the route that they've gone. It's not a very big deal to me right now that that they might be starting the lesser quarterback, or the quarterback gives them a lesser chance to win, or the quarterback who is not right for them long term. That doesn't really bother me at this point. But that's kind of why that goes back to the first part that we talked about, is very quickly that turns. And Matt Nagy to me has, and maybe people disagree with this, I don't know, Matt Nagy, to me, has shown every indication that he's seeing the same game we are, and that when it's obvious that Justin Fields should be playing relative to this, the signing of Dalton, I think he will. I think if he lets us linger, I'll be very disappointed, and we will respond accordingly, I think. And that's why the first 3-4 games are very important, because that's when it has to happen. But anyway, to answer your question, yeah, I think it's mostly the obligation they felt that we don't, to Andy Dalton. Because, you know, people say, well, boy, you can lose the locker room when you don't start the best quarterback. Well, you can lose face in the NFL, too, by making promises and then not keeping them, too. I think that's a free agency deal. And so there's a real obligation there in my mind, based on what I've seen. So I don't think it's that egregious. I don't think it's that incompetent of them to be going the route they're going. But all I'm saying is that changes very quickly at the rate things are going based on weeks 2, 3, and 4. And so that's why this early part of the season is just absolutely critical. And frankly, fun to watch.
Mark Potash of the Sun-Times is our guest. The Scores Hotline is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So the Bengals present a different kind of defense. Their defensive line is strong. They're playing the way the Bears' overpaid and overrated defensive line is supposed to play. So what do you think of the Bears' offensive line chances They seem to have more questions going into this game than they did before. What do you think the chances are that Matt Nagy will wake up and say that Justin Fields can deodorize these bad plays we have and these short plays and these quick throws? He can go downfield because he's gonna run around in the pocket to allow guys to get open.
Well, first, the scenario has to ensue, and we didn't really get an opportunity to see that last week because it kind of played just the way it played out. The Rams did not load the box up, so it allowed the Bears to maybe falsely give the Bears a running game that they maybe don't really have, and it shut down their passing game. This is going to be more of a traditional test for the Bears offense, where they're going to have to run the ball, and this is a defense they should be able to run the ball, and they're going to be able to, and they're going to be able to give their line, see if their line can give their quarterback enough time to throw downfield. So the offensive line really was not tested last week because they got the ball out too quick. So now you'll see that. But, you know, let me say this, though. I think there's a danger in allowing Justin Fields to get out there and just run around like crazy on every play. Mm-hmm. I don't consider that quarterback development. And I saw a little bit of that in the preseason where there were, like, out of six plays, he ran on, like, four of them. And if he just runs, you're right, he can make the offensive line better. I totally agree with that philosophy. He can make, like, to use maybe a bad example, a Charles Leno, to me, an above-average offensive line. He can make him a really good one by nullifying the one or two major mistakes he plays by running away from it, running out of it. I get that part of it. But if he does what I think he might do based on the preseason, if he's running around like crazy on every play and making plays and getting everybody all excited and actually scoring points, that I would argue that whether that is actual quarterback development, because I think then you're letting your quarterback be your offense, and he really needs to develop within it. So I don't think people agree with me on that, but that's just my – I think there's a danger also in just throwing Fields in there before the offense is really ready to let him run.
Yeah, I actually have come to agree with that, Mark. I think at first, when you just look at it on a sheet of paper just objectively and say, yeah – you're more the guy with the 4.4 speed is probably going to work better with an unsure, volatile offensive line. But to your point, the quarterback development and the part two where, yeah, he's going to make some big plays. There's no doubt about it. But if he keeps on running, he will get tackled a lot. And it does increase his chances for getting hurt as well. So, Andy Dalton is going to get rid of the ball, and he's good at all of that. So those are all things that we've talked about for a long time. But I do want to talk about the Cincinnati offense against the Bears defense. And there are several hot spots for sure on the Bengals, starting with the quarterback Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon. Is there any reason to believe the defense will have more success against Cincinnati than they had against the L.A. Rams?
Yeah, I think so, but I certainly can't promise it. I just think I'm just guessing that they will snap back, and the issues that they had where, you know, they were like in a total funk, and you know, I don't know how you fix that, but I think you need another game to see just how real that situation is. So yeah, I think they can have a good game against Joe Burrow. He's going to be a really good quarterback. I really like him. I think he's really got the it factor. I think he's just the kind of, I think he's going to be as good as they say. But he's still young, and I still think the Bears defense can handle that. But it's gonna be a challenge. But again, this is more of a litmus test. Same thing. This is more of a litmus test than last week was. I don't know if last week was an aberration or whatever. It was just some kind of huge brain cramp. But this is where we'll see. But yeah, I don't see this as any insurmountable thing for the Bears. I don't think it's certain that they'll shut them down. Like they did a few years ago in Cincinnati, but I still think this is a better opportunity to see if the Bears' defensive problems are for real. And another thing, you know, if Eddie Goldman doesn't play, that's another factor that they're missing, especially with the Joe Mixon factor. So yeah, I guess I'm talking in circles here, but I just feel like this. I think the Bears' defense. I feel like they will snap back and play well against Cincinnati, and if not, then I agree. Then you've got long-term, major, big issue problems if they can't handle this one, because there are even better offenses they're going to be facing down the road.
We're talking with Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, talking Bears here on The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. The the whatever you want to call it, the mistake, the idea that Eddie Jackson, Sean Gibson couldn't, they wouldn't touch down a receiver who's obviously down, and that's basic football kind of stuff, and he gets up and runs and keeps running and might still be running. And the fact that Eddie Jackson seems to be a guy who, hey, he got paid, I'm not going to play much anymore, and he's certainly not going to play at that level. The fact that Nagy wouldn't set a day afterwards, he hadn't talked to him about that, did that surprise you? Does that matter to you? Is that some form of, is that abdicating some head coach responsibility?
I don't know. It might be bad parenting, but but that's Matt Nagy's style. He does not, you know, he is a player's coach. I'm sure he has been stern with them privately or whatever on occasion, but in general, he's their friend, and he is not going to do anything, whether it comes to players not talking to the media, players getting vaccinated, whatever. He's not going to tell them too much that that he thinks is going to cause any kind of consternation. And he's just a player's coach. That's all there is to it. So, no, that doesn't surprise me at all. And in general, he pretty much has been let the defensive coordinator handle things. And so I think he's leaving that up to Sean Desai to get that thing straightened out. But let me say this about Eddie Jackson. I just feel like I don't think Eddie Jackson is, his verve is any different. I don't think he's soft or whatever or comfortable because he got paid. I just think it was timed up with the fact that Eddie Jackson is a byproduct of the Bears front seven. I don't think he's like I don't think he's even a Harrison Smith kind of safety who's going to be good in any defense. I think he's a good safety who's really good, all pro good, when you have guys like Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks playing at an elite level like they were in 2018. And Hicks and company in 2017, they don't have that anymore. So I think that's where that it's more of a timing issue with the defense, where I think the front seven makes Eddie Jackson the special player he is, and they're just not there right now. And I don't know if they may never get there again.
Let's stay on the front seven.
But that's also why they're not paying anybody too. You know, you talk about Allen Robinson and Akeem Hicks and stuff like that. I think they want to. I think the idea of keeping guys hungry is kind of their tack now. After probably after seeing what happened to Eddie Jackson.
Yeah. As for the front seven, then, Potsy, and I know you mentioned Eddie Goldman earlier, and he is doubtful tomorrow for tomorrow's game because of a knee injury, practice one day. I had assumed that he was going to play, just having seen him out there practicing the one day, and then the last 2 days, he did not. And I want desperately, Mark, to take the Bears' word for it when they say this is just a day-to-day thing, and, you know, the vibe was it's not that big a deal, he could be fine. But just with the way it's gone for Eddie Goldman, the way he, you know, he was, you know, missing in action and all the off-season stuff, and then he comes to camp and he's injured a lot. He was on the COVID protocol. Now he's got the knee injury. I can't help but just wondering what Eddie Goldman we're going to get this year. Is he going to play this year? I mean, are you worried about this?
Well, I think they're concerned. I think they're concerned about it too, and that's why he's not going to play, because they would rather have him at 100% than at 80 or whatever he is. So I think they're being careful there. Yeah, I think there's always a concern with injuries. You know, frankly, when I saw Peters go out, I didn't think he'd be play this week, but it looks like he might give it a go. But you know, I think it's fair the way things have gone to fear the worst. But I'm not that concerned right now that this will. I don't get that feeling. You know, sometimes you just know that it's going to be a longer term thing. I'm trying to think of an example, but I can't. But sometimes you just know it's going to be a longer term thing. I don't yet get that impression because, well, A, we haven't seen him, so you know, it's one thing. But yeah, we just don't know. So I'm not concerned. Is it day to day? That I don't know. But with this 3 week IR now. Teams don't have to hide it as much now. And if a guy was hurt, and it wasn't a day to day, they would just put him on like they have. They just put him on IR and let him sit for 3 weeks. So I think there's a legitimate chance. I don't think he's going to play this week, but I guess to answer your question, I think once he gets going, he'll be Eddie Goldman again. I think it's just they're being careful and want to make sure he's 100% healthy, which frankly is my thing. I think I'm big on that. I think a guy like Khalil Mack would be better off playing, like, you know, 12 games at 100% than 8 at 100 and 8 at 80. I mean, so anytime they're going to get a player's 100%, I think that's a huge thing in the NFL where guys tell them, yeah, I want to play. Khalil Mack wants to play when he's 80%. Well, Khalil Mack isn't Khalil Mack when he's 80%. He shouldn't be playing when he's 80%. They should save that and let him play when he's 100%. So if the subject is our players, is Eddie Goldman ever going to be 100%? I think he will. I think they're trying to get him there, and I think that's actually a wise move.
Mark, based on everything that you have said here, I'm sorry, Steve, I just got a I want to slide in here for our guest, Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times on Rosenblum and Grody. Based on everything that you have said, and I have not looked at your pick, if you've even revealed it yet, sounds to me like you're picking the Bears. I mean, you've got a pretty positive outlook right now, or I guess more positive than others. You got the Bears winning tomorrow?
Well, I do, Mark, but almost in like a Steve will appreciate this, in a cynical manner, because I've seen this movie so many times where they play poorly and they get everybody in the world thinking they're crap, and then they, against a beatable team, they snap back and they're awesome, right. And then they're saying, see, what are you guys telling us we're bad for? See how great we're? And then the next week they're bad again. I mean, so I picked them to win. It was one of my top plays in the cheat sheet, the NFL picks page I do.
I think
I had them winning like 31-17 because I've seen this movie so many times I can almost predict it. So, but on my YouTube channel, I predicted the Bengals to win 24-6. So either way, I'm going to come back and say I was right.
Yes, thank goodness. Thank you. Thank goodness you bet both sides, Mark. Thanks for your time.
All right, thanks, guys. Great to talk to you again.
You too, Mark Potash. A fun visit. All the time.
I knew he picked it. I knew it. How did I? Yeah. Did I sniff that out or what?
Because yes, you did.
He kept saying, "I'm not worried. I'm not like every." We tried to throw worries at him, and one by one, he knocked down our worries, and it all led up to me thinking, "Yeah, this guy's got the Bears winning." Boom.
Maybe he's just trying to justify his disillusionment with like, "I can't believe they're really going to suck this way for the next 3 months." Well, they might. They're certainly capable of it. They got the right coach who can't coach the game in front of them, and they got the wrong quarterback, so that's a good start. Anyways, the quarterback for the Bears, whoever it is. You know what? Let's check. Let's see. Let's go down to Soldier Field. Let's check on the fans and see what their thoughts are on Andy Dalton's Bears. Okay, well, I'll say this for the fans, they're more consistent. There is the defensive line that the Bears are going to face, whatever you think of their offensive line and whoever it might be. So it was that defensive line for the Bengals had themselves quite the moment last week. And there are some numbers that might surprise you. We'll come back with that. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Play in your face, man to man, a little zone here and there, but I mean, they're not hiding anything, so there's some opportunities out there for sure.
Bears receiver Darnell Mooney talking about the Bengals. And the Bengals are going to make their secondary look good based on their pass rush. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody. Pro Football Focus, Mark, charted the Bengals defensive tackle group. This is according to Paul Denner Jr. of The Athletic, covers the Bengals for The Athletic. The tackle group had 7 pressures, 3 sacks, just the defensive tackles. That's as many sacks in one game against the Vikings as they managed all of last year. This group's bigger, better, different. The Bengals had 4 sacks in all. The defensive line had 4 sacks, and they drew 5 holding penalties against the Vikings. And there was a 6th one that was declined. That was the most of any team in the league. These are the Bengals that the Bears offensive line is going to face. And yet, because the Bengals play man, the Bears seem to indicate this week, you were there, seem to indicate they think they could get plays downfield, even though this defensive line seems pretty, it seems scarier than you might think.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. The Viking, and I know the Vikings and Kirk Cousins were in a little bit more of a desperation mode, but the Vikings did have three receivers, or make that, three receivers with 70 yards or more in that game against the Bengals last week. And, yeah, Allen Robinson pointed it out to us when we huddled around him this week, and I was part of that, and he pointed out that the Bengals played one high safety, press man. They don't do this. This defense will not look like what the Rams were doing. They were playing in a give them a little room zone and letting the Bears do their dink and dunk. And if they wanted to run it, as the Bears did well at times, they were going to let that's it's going to be different in this one. And this is where Allen Robinson thrives, and he can win one on. He's one of the best route runners in the National Football League, is Allen Robinson. So you put him one on one and the one high safety, you're going to see more damage done this week for sure from Allen Robinson, and hopefully from Darnell Mooney as well.
Oh goodness!
This early?
Oh goodness! That is our breaking caller sounder from a Score listener, and the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's visit with Trash Panda. What have you for us?
It's an old friend.
It's not me. I'm here, okay. And not there.
Toby's here.
Yeah.
Are you
You're
still
here,
screening
but not
him?
There?
Is he still trying to explain where he's calling from? Are you?
That
I'm
was
here.
Actually,
I'm
that
there.
Was actually an old drop.
He's the Cheshire Cat. I'm here. Not there. He's the Cheshire Cat.
He should be there. Hi. Toby, hi.
Hi, guys.
What's up, buddy?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Is that a name or a condition? A salutation or a condition when you say Toby, hi?
I recently ordered a Corona on a Delta flight.
A Corona on a Delta flight.
Yeah.
You can be here all week, tip your wait staff, drive home safely.
I'm laughing in the face of it. It's over.
the pandemic is over?
Yep. I declare
that's it.
So
you've
that's
called
what
it.
You have to do. You have to order a Corona on a Delta flight.
Yeah, let's pull the troops out. We're done. We're done here with this coronavirus.
That's right.
Look at that.
Is that what you called this? Yeah, by the way, how much self-medicating do you need to do to watch these Bears, these Matt Nagy Bears?
A lot. I'm surprised you guys haven't had a caller, Andy from Dalton, Illinois, yet.
Oh, that would be something.
That's good.
Very it would good. Be.
Would you, yeah, by the way, Toby, I hope that you won't, but we're a little late on that. But, Toby, if you were at the Bears game tomorrow, would you be one of those Bears fans who, if Andy Dalton on a second play misses a 3-yard pass to David Montgomery, you'll be booing and calling for Justin Fields? Oh, my God. I'm going to be so uncomfortable tomorrow.
Well, I think you should explain to the class, share with the class. You just hate the booing thing, so we won't do that bit. But we just did that bit because you walked us into that bit. But
I know. No, I don't mind the bit. Let me share with the class. Yeah, when you suggested that on our thread throughout the week and when we start to plan the show, believe it or not, we planned this show. You said,
Don't ruin the bit here.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm just
kidding,
man. For all
they know, we just turn the mics on and go every day.
Never mind. I'm just stoned on my couch. I got impersonations. Let's go.
Yeah.
No.
Dave the Cat.
Dave the Cat. Yeah, bro. That's right. Putting another quarter in the jukebox. Yeah. But, no. Anyway, so you put that in the email, hey, how about if we do this? Let's do this thing where we'll play the boo. And I'm like, all right, I hate it because I hate booing, like in that kind of booing. Like you could boo like if your team is down by 40 or if somebody's dogging it. But the projected booing on a guy, you know, enchanting the other quarter, that kind of booing makes me very uncomfortable and makes me squirm. But two things. The comedy is good. Like, I understand why you want to do it, and the text reaction has been positive to your little bit that we're doing here today, Steve. So the I sell out for comedy. I've often done that in my life. Sometimes people get angry with me because sometimes you sell out for the comedy, and sometimes at the expense of somebody. Yeah. Exactly. No, it's been, I mean, believe it or not, there are people around town who are not fond of me because of impersonations and things like that. So I get it. I understand selling out, but I hate it. I hate that kind of booing. But I'm like totally like, yeah, I'm not here to tell fans not to. I'm not going to go down that road, but I personally don't like it. So that's all.
The premeditated part of it.
Yeah, not just the premeditated, but there's a place for booing. I just don't think it's very upsetting. That's all I'm going to say.
What if it's truly visceral? Maybe it's pre-planned, but also visceral. You know, heartfelt.
Well, it is, but it's sort of a hard, like, you're not even giving him a chance to exist out there. And I don't like this about me. I think about what that person is thinking, what their family must be thinking, what their kids must be thinking.
Course.
You know what I mean? Bad, I know.
I do that, too. I do that, too, and I actually have been thinking about that, you know. Actually, what I've been thinking about is the perspective of the executives and coach and everything like that. I feel like I know it's ironic because they did spend money and it's a sunk cost, but I feel like they're viewing Andy Dalton as house money. They already, whatever they get out of him, is they're playing with house money. You know what I mean?
But like they're costing themselves in the standings. It's not house money, and it's not. It may be a sunk cost, but it's not house money when you cost yourself. You're in a bad division. You've got a chance to win and take it over, and you're playing the least dangerous quarterback on your roster.
They're playing Dalton in the games they feel like they would lose with Fields anyway, so far.
We got to let you go, but really what's ironic here is that you got serious on us. So if you want to use the word ironic, that's what became ironic.
I had a suggestion too, though, and I know we probably got to go, but for future, I would love to make picks. I don't follow the rest of the league that closely, but I swear I could beat anybody just by making picks, by hearing who's playing who that week, and just tell me a few and the spread, and I will tell you.
I think we got a new logical. We got a new bet, guys.
Very,
week,
very
Toby
logical.
Predicts.
I would guess. Toby, the bong predicts. We'll just see what the bong says. that'll work. There's no question. That'll work. From the bong. Live from the bong. We will get that done. Thanks, Toby.
Goodbye, Toby.
All right.
Yeah, all right. So, and I also think that the booing is because Hayden Ryan Pace doesn't show up. Whatever you boo, the premature booing of Andy Dalton is what they think of Ryan Pace because of the way he's been such a disaster. He couldn't find a quarterback at a Manning family Thanksgiving, and this guy still has a job, remarkably. Let's take a break. When we come back, we have not done this for a long time. We need to do what Mark heard. It was quite the week. I imagine I've not heard what Mark heard, but Mark heard it. You heard it, right, Mark?
I did heard it, and it's all Bears, baby.
All right. Well, we're going to come back with that. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I was saying, Booer.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.